God's word to John chapter 1, John chapter 1. You can go on your phone, tablet, whatever you have, your hard copy of the Bible, John chapter 1. So last week, we saw a video of some of our International Mission Board missionaries working in the Amazon, trying to reach isolated groups of people that speak their own language with the gospel. And then this week you see some of our International Mission Board missionaries in Croatia, in a city populated with millions of people, broadcasting the gospel over the radio. One of the things that I appreciate about the work that our International Mission Board missionaries do is that, and our ability to partner with them, is that they go out on 3-year terms. And then they take a break, and they come home and for about 6 months. Then they go out for another 3-year terms. Many of them spend their entire adult lives doing that. Some of them feel like the Lord's leading them home at some point. And so at the end of a 3-year term, they come home. But the reason I tell you that is because other missionaries that are part of other organizations or are sent out by individual churches usually have to come home for months, at least once a year. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just part of the work. But because our International Mission Board missionaries are supported by literally thousands of churches, they don't have to break up their work in the countries that they're in to come home and fundraise every 6 or 9 or 12 months. They go for 3 years, they come home, rest, they go back for 3 years. And we have over 3,000 all over the world. And that's what our Lottie Moon Christmas offering is about. So in addition to our regular tithes and offerings, during the month of December, we're taking up an offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that goes directly to these men and women all over the world to reach people that have either heard about Jesus but don't really know how he relates to them or haven't heard the name of Jesus at all. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't begun to pray, or you haven't already given and you haven't begun to pray about whether to give towards the Lottie Moon Christmas offering in addition to your tithes and offerings, I want to encourage you to pray about that, whether the Lord would have you give. Our goal this year is $10,000, and we're well on our way to that goal. So thank you for those of you who have given. If you have questions about the International Mission Board, I'd be more than happy to talk with you in more detail about that and where the money goes and how the money gets there. All right. Y'all ready to get in the Word? Me too. Me too. Hey, it is officially Christmas. Thanksgiving has come and gone, and it is almost December. And so we're going to start a journey for the next 4 or so weeks in God's Word, just preparing our hearts to celebrate the fact that Jesus came and that he's coming again. And to begin that, we're going to start in John chapter 1. I was thinking about this week how these verses that we're going to look at this morning in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3, whenever I read them, my mind, it's like it just stops. Like I just can't comprehend fully what I'm reading. It's so amazing. It's similar to the way I feel when I stand outside on a clear night. Our students, Pastor Robbie and Ms. Kim and some of the other adults, put together a progressive dinner for our students, 6th through 12th graders, the other night. Wound up at the Osborne's house with a bonfire and a hayride. But that night, it was particularly clear. I don't know much about the stars and all that stuff, but Mr. Darrell Harrison was there, and he says, "That's Mars, and that's Jupiter, and that's Saturn." And I was like, wow, that's amazing. It was so clear that night. And to think that there's even so much more in the sky than just those three planets. It's like my mind knows it, but I can't there's so much I don't know about what's out there. And the very fact that I can't fully comprehend it amazes me. Now, when we read God's word about Jesus coming, there's a certain element of reading this that should just make us stop and say, what I can understand about Jesus coming is amazing, but also what I see and I know I can't fully comprehend, the fact that I can't fully comprehend it also amazes me. We're going to catch a glimpse of that this morning. If we miss this, then I think we'll miss the significance of the fact that Jesus came at all. And so I'm excited to just like stare at God's word with you this morning, try to soak it in, try to understand it, step back from the parts that we can't fully understand and just go, wow. You ready to do that? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this season. As Dustin's already mentioned, Lord, we pray for those that are alone, are sick, are taking care of those who are sick, particularly this morning at the beginning of this season. We know this can be a very hard time of year when it's supposed to be so joyous. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with them even now, especially those who are listening. God, we pray that you would just remind them that their joy is not in their circumstances. Remind us that our joy is not founded in our circumstances, but it's found in you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what we can, what our small minds are capable of understanding. Help us to understand that. But Lord, help us to look at your word, understand, and see what we may not be able to fully understand, to fully comprehend, and simply stand back from it and just be amazed by you this morning. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would do what only you can in and among us this morning. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to give you a couple of other passages that we'll be in. If you want to follow along, we'll catch some glimpses of the truth we're looking at this morning. In John 17, 1 John 1, Revelation 19, Psalm 33, 1 Corinthians 8, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. The notes are in the church app, and all those passages are too if you want to use that. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, that tell us about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, each one of them starts telling the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection a little bit different. And John starts it in his own way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John start at his birth or with his genealogy or even in the midst of his ministry. But John goes much, much further back than that. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." There's a lot in these three verses. First thing we see is that John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is talking about the Word of God. We got two pieces of truth this morning. The first one is this. Before Jesus came, Jesus was the eternal Word of God. Before he came, Jesus was the eternal Word of God. Look at verse 1 in your copy of God's Word. In the beginning, hand this Bible to someone that's never read the Bible before. And we say, just start in the beginning and read through it, they would come across those same three words, in the beginning, where else? In Genesis, or in the beginning, right? Genesis 1, verse 1, starts off telling us, in the beginning. And so when, as students of the Bible, as people of the Word, or just someone who has picked up the Bible for the first time and is reading through it, they get to John chapter 1, verse 1, and they see these words, in the beginning. And where should our minds go? Back to Genesis 1, 1. To the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. It's like deja vu. It's flashback. Wait, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the beginning of Jesus' life? Or are we talking about the beginning, like when there was nothing else but God? And the answer is yes. We're talking about the beginning, beginning. And these verses tell us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So the Word, and in your Bible you'll see that that word is capitalized with a capital W. The Word was with God, and not only that, but the Word was God. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the part where, like, you're looking up at the stars and your mind is just beginning to hurt. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Got to ask the question, what, who is the Word? We keep reading. Verse 2, and it says, He was in the beginning with God. So, John, as he's writing this, switches it up. He's talking about the Word, and then instead of referring to the Word as an it, he refers to the Word as a he, as a person. So the Word is a person that was, stay with me, with God, in the beginning, and was God in the beginning. Is your mind hurting yet? So who is the Word? The Word is a person who is God and had fellowship with God from the beginning. In other words, God is eternal. He never was not. And the Word was always with God. So the Word, this person we're talking about, also never was not. Didn't know Christmas could get so philosophical, did we? He was in the beginning with God. We keep reading through this chapter and we get down to verse 14. We catch a clear picture of who the Word is. Look at verse 14 and it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So here's the answer to our question. The Word, who was with God and was God and has always been, never was not, who is a person? Who is that person? That person is the only Son of the Father. He's the Son of God. John 17, verse 5, Jesus, as he prays, he says, And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So as Jesus was praying in John 17, he refers to the glory that he had with the Father before the world even existed. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, later on in the New Testament, it says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He's talking about the word there. He's talking about Jesus there. Revelation 19, 13, the last letter in the Bible. Speaking of Jesus, it says this: He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Think about this. Why is Jesus referred to as the Word of God here in John chapter 1 and in other places in the New Testament? You think about the Word of God throughout the Bible and the way that the Bible uses those terms, the Word of God. We discover in the Old Testament the Word of God was the way God communicated with His people. When God spoke through prophets, the prophets said, and the Word of the Lord was the way He communicated with His people. Those who received the Word of the Lord were in a relationship with God. And not only that, but the Word of the Lord provided guidance, counsel, and wisdom for God's people. And it indicated His care and His love for His people. When we fast forward to the New Testament, we see that the very Son of God is referred to as the Word. The way in which God communicates with us is His Son. The way He indicates His love and His care for us is His Son. The way He provides guidance and wisdom for us is His Son, Jesus, the Word. So before Jesus came, before He was the babe in the manger, soak this in for a moment. Before He was the babe in the manger, He was the eternal Word of God. He was with God and He was God. You with me? Truth piece two. Before He came, Jesus was the creator of all things. Look at verse 3 of John chapter 1. He says, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we're still talking about the Word here. We're still talking about Jesus. All things were made through Him. So the one who was with God, the one who was one was God, the one who we call the Word of God, He made everything. And in case we didn't understand it in the first part of verse 3, He says it again in a different way at the end of verse 3. Nothing that has been made was made without Him. So we think about it. The heavens, the earth, the angels, the animals, the big majestic ones, the little aggravating ones, the moon and stars, the creatures in the depths of the ocean that we've yet to know anything about, the mountains, the sunrise, the sunset, every piece of creation Jesus created. John 1:10 says, He was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Colossians 1:16 says, speaking of Jesus, says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Before Jesus came, Jesus was the creator of all things. Just let that soak in for a moment. Usually we want to skip down. When it comes to Christmas time, we want to skip down to verse 14, where it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But before verse 14, there's verses 1, 2, and 3. To understand the significance of the fact that Jesus came to us. To understand the significance of the fact that the Word became flesh. To understand the significance of the fact that not only did Jesus come for us, but he was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. The significance of the fact that after a perfect life, in the midst of a perfect life, he was arrested, put on trial, tortured, placed on the cross, hung there till he died to pay for our sin. To understand the significance of the fact that the Son of God, Jesus, laid in the grave dead for 3 days and then rose from the dead after 3 days to secure victory and life for us, forgiveness of sin and grace and mercy and kindness and love for us. To secure for us our adoption so that we could move from enemies of God to children, sons and daughters of God, and loved by him in that way. To understand the significance of that, we have to read John 1, 1 through 3. And understand that the one who laid in a feeding trough, surrounded by farm animals when he was born into this world, who was worshipped by, of all people, shepherds, while at the same time a heavenly choir of angels sang over him. To understand that, to understand the significance of the silent and holy night, we have to understand that the one who came to save us has always been. The one who came to save us was with God in the beginning and was God in the beginning. The one who came to save us created all things, and in him all things are held together. We step back and we look at that and we say, wow, that is amazing. We sit there and we look at John 1, 1 through 3 and John 1, 14 and we say the Word became flesh, and we feel like we're looking out into the expanse of space going, I can understand some of it, but I can't understand all of it, but that gives me a very reason to stand here in amazement that the Word of God put on flesh for me, lived on this broken world for me, died on the cross for me. The one who always was did all of that for me and for you. As a Christian, at the beginning of this Christmas season, just one takeaway for us that know and follow Jesus this morning. Maybe we walk through this Christmas season, and every moment that we think of the manger, the shepherds, the baby Jesus, may we also think of the eternal Word who created everything. And be propelled to worship the babe in the manger because of that. Think about this for a second. Jesus was worthy of our worship before he even came, which makes the fact that he came that much more glorious. And if you're here, you're listening today, and you're not a Christian, or you're not really sure about following Jesus or really trusting him with the rest of your life, the significance of Jesus isn't about the story of Mary and Joseph or shepherds that angels came to by night or the fact that there was no place in the inn. All that stuff is significant, but that is not the point of Christmas. The point of Jesus is that the eternal Word. The point of Christmas is that the eternal Word, Jesus, put on flesh and dwelt among us. So we want to urge you, we want to encourage you this morning to place your trust in the one who came, who always was, and the one who came for you. If you have questions about that, we're here for you. We'd love to sit down with the Bible and with you and show you what it means to surrender your life to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we stand at the beginning of this Christmas season in a way we're excited about it because it represents some normalcy in the midst of a wild year. But more than that, Lord, it represents you and who you are and what you've done for us in your son Jesus. And that's never going to change, regardless of the year we've had. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Jesus, we praise you. We praise you that before you came to save us, you were worthy of our worship and our praise and our adoration and our trust. But you did come. Because of your mercy and your grace and your love for us, you did come. And so, Lord, we pray that we would trust you even more through this Christmas season. We pray that we would be propelled to worship you, just filled with hearts of amazement as we look at who you are before you even came. And, Lord, we pray for those who have yet to trust you. God, we pray that they would look at your word. They would be amazed that the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word of God, put on flesh, dwelt among us to save them, and they would surrender their life to you. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand together.